Well, you know, 2 years ago, and I guess I got him so mad that he finally did it. So I just went over there and tapped on his doorstep and kept talking and talking, because they came here, I guess 1907 or 8, something like that. But I think I read you the letter that my dad wrote in September of 1907. He was here, and of course he did the fifth hunt to the place.
Nobody ever did
be in there. But was
dad? He said there wasn't a level spot in town, and he hadn't seen the sun for 5 days, and it rained all the time.
Dad said, you wouldn't live here all day. He said, people out there don't go straight up.
And he lived the rest of his life out there.
People out there don't. People out there don't. What did you say?
People out there didn't go straight up when they were under.
He was thoroughly disgusted. He didn't like the rain.
Okay. What about your family? They came in 1906, Kathy?
Yeah. I remember the day that Clarence Eastwood was born.
Oh.
I went home with Nellie Walker and Thelma Mills and Walt Livingston and a bunch of us that went together as far as going to school. And then we kind of went separate ways. But I went a little farther than the way to school corner. I went home with Nellie, and then we were backtracking, and Nellie started to home with me. We got down by the Eastwood house on A Street, and the doctor's rig was there. And next morning, Nellie Walker told me that that they had a baby boy. The Eastwood.
Not Clarence.
He came
up here. He was about 4 years old when he came here.
Oh.
He must have been a brother.
He didn't have any brothers.
No. They lost one son back in Dakota. Oh. But they had two daughters.
Oh,
evidently twins. And they lost them.
Oh.
And since my dad and Mr. Eastwood were partners in whatever they were doing, carpenter, clearing land, and so on, they have lots in the cemetery out here side by side. And when I go out and clean up my folks' lot, why I take care of the Eastwoods too. And there's two daughters that are buried there.
Oh, well, I know now how it was. Leon Walker had been born with me before, and it was an Eastwood baby.
Well,
he lives right at the same place.
Same place on A Street.
North A Street. Right next to the mixing plant.
Oh.
Yeah.
Main Street?
A Street. In the middle of the block on Main Street, they moved to the corner there where the Mercury Tire.
Yeah.
He was there last, about there. Yeah.
Well, he tells about selling out, and if you remember the fountain, it was all what kind of stone? Granite? Well, anyway, it was marble. And they moved it down to where about I.J. Horace had their shop. They moved it on rollers, all the way down the street on rollers.
Was that the one that was in the church block? No, that was a bandstand. I'm thinking of a bandstand, not a fountain. There was a bandstand on that block. Must be about where Anderson's built later, I think.
Oh, no, it's in there where the Masonic
Temple is. About where the
Is that where the bandstand was? I knew it was in that block, but no one knew.
There was a cannon there for a while, too, but... The grandstand got moved over onto the Pacific campus, and then I think it just finally went to
college. Well, what do you say? Was this a worthwhile project to do?
That's interesting.
We didn't get a...
We don't know the truth, but I don't.
We did the best we could.
It probably was one of the girls that was born in there. And whether or not she lived, but... Same age as Raleigh Walker, you said.
I could look on the stone out there. But there were two girls.
What would that have been?
I think so.
Well, I can't see these things there.
Mary, you take the book home and...
Okay. I was looking for ages.
Get it back to... Well,
the chocolate was quite...
You know, Parsons used to have the store right, confectionery, right next to the barber shop now, and they used to sell a chocolate like the size of a baking potato, just about like that, and it cost a dime. And they call it a centennial.
Oh, yeah, that's what we eat every Christmas. And that's so cool.
And I never had the dime to buy it.
That was the same with that chocolate that they made down in Astoria. That was the name of that, and it cost a dime, and I never had the dime.
But I remember Melvin Emerson. He always would eat two or three of them, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And his teeth gave out on them, you know, very early. That's what he got for having the dime.
Sometimes it's better to be poor, huh?
Well, shall we take another block? Or
I'm going to suggest that why don't we start this one, take a look at criticize it, correct?
Yeah, I think what we could do with this thing is to get it by periods of time, by dates,
yeah.
You know, and write a little piece of paper out on the side, you know, like so-and-so was here in this building at a certain time, and somebody else was in there at a certain time. I don't think it would be any great manuscript that anybody would want to buy, but I think it would give us a lot of satisfaction in just doing the darn thing.
An abstract.
It's funny, people on this side of town, you know anybody on the other side.
Well, when we lived down on North Main Street, our folks said, Warbus is your deadline. Don't you go past Warbus, because if you did, you knew what was going to happen to you.
Absolutely.
And so we never ever went past Warbus's delivery wagon stable along there.
I got a picture of the little wagons and horses when Ralph was driving, and I recognized a couple of the others. There was a third one that I didn't know the name of.
Well, there was Ralph Emerson. He drove, and Eddie Hay, and
that was after Ralph's time.
Yeah. There was
Joel Worley and Ralph are in this picture, and then there's a third fellow that I don't remember.
Gene Smith, you remember him?
Yeah, I remember.
Now, there was another Smith, not Russell, but
Gene was Russell's older brother.
But there was another brother in between that. Which one got killed in the war?
Was it? Charlie, too. Charlie Smith.
Well, anyway, there was a couple of the Smith boys that drove the wagon. They had a, you seem, I'm pretty sure, didn't they have where the wheels turned around under the bed of the body? So you could just turn your horse right around almost.
Yeah, I had that kind of that the kind of had a crack in it, couldn't turn that good. It had this kind of, they were using cities to pick up and deliver it. The bed was low behind and came up to see us, and went up over the front wheel, and we were smart. If you could turn those, turn around.
I don't think that was the kind they had here then. It just must have been.
I saw a picture of the Hillsboro ones the other day. And they had double horses on theirs. There was just one that was a single horse rig, and it was that kind of wheels we turned around on.
Yeah. Well, and what did the post office, rural delivery carriers, when the post office was on South Main Street, they had their barn, you know, where they put their, it was just a shelter for the horses. What kind of a buggy did they have?
I think each carrier had his own stuff, and I don't think it was uniform at all.
If I remember, the carrier's half. They allowed about one there.
Well, what do we want to do for next time?
Just watch over here.
While we're on Main Street, do you want to go down South Main Street?
Yeah, why don't we take the next box out? Because we just go to the main part.
Unless you knew of who lived down on South A Street in 19th. Okay, I'll pick up another one. Okay. Now, do you want a meeting in November?
Verify all the things.
and his brothers.
Do you want to invite them in, or do you want to interview them, or what?
Well, I can invite them.
I don't think you might have come and asked me to look at his
comments. Do you suppose Martha Giltner, or...
She might, yeah.
Would no daughters... Dad's story. Would they come at night, though?
Well, we can always pick them up.
I'll see if I can get Clarence Eastwood to come this next night. I'll just put the pry on him. Stay after him. So he says, yeah. Who wants to take Joe Vanderbilt?
Let me
read it. Okay. And who wants Martha Giltner?
I'm
She's
in the state way
quite often. She's going to the bookstore there, I think.
Well, there's that Alton girl.
Why don't you take
Catherine?
South of the city of Maine.
That's what
Andrew and Gilbert's store.
That's what we're going to do next. Or sometime.
Gilbert's store, Gilbert's store.
Is that what you call Burt's Hall?
Yeah,
okay.
Well, Burt's Hall was closer to the corner, wasn't it?
It was on the corner.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, perfect.
There was much discussion on TV about Mondale and Reagan's debate. So many people think that Mondale is a valuable visionary explanation of the coming terms of policy. But I think that's very difficult for him to decide. A man who's been in president, he's worked for 4 years, and he's always the object of criticism. Easier to say what you can do than when you get in there, when you have a lot of conflicting things to deal with, to solve all these major problems. Isn't that true?
Well, does everybody have your assignment then?
Well, we're going to have an assignment for everybody plus Eastwood's going to be here. Is that it?
I'm going to try and get Clarence.
I mean, plus we hope he's going to be here.
And if you can invite any of these other people, the gal at Pat's,
Catherine Alton Lee.
Yeah. If we can get them to come in and see if we can...
Do you want to get several at one time, or do you want one time?
Let's get them all in at once.
Oh, sure. Because you wouldn't even have to give enough time to tell what they know.
Oh, you're going to give them extra. That's all I want to get one member.
We keep them coming.
Well, Mrs. Hughes is quite
an
authority.
Well, sure.
Beth, too.
She tells when people come to her to ask her about,
for Conklin Post Code.
There you go. Who's the lady that was going to have Pat Wagler here tonight? She sat there last time. But she was going to have somebody come. She was going to have Wagler come.
Well, you never know what they're going to do nowadays with the way things are.